Looking at that verse up there, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Don't you want liberty to be a place where the Spirit is in control? Amen. And you are free. You've got that liberty. You are free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Amen. To free to live for God, free to live the way you ought to live for the Lord. Amen. You know, a lot of folks are not free to live for God today because they hadn't been delivered from the power of sin. They're still in the bondage of sin and self and Satan. But I'm glad that if we're saved today, we can have that liberty. Amen. And that freedom to serve the Lord as we ought to and live for God the way we couldn't do it before. All right, let's go in our Bibles now to 2 Samuel 17 this morning. 2 Samuel 17 today. I'm going to talk about David today. And this is just read a couple of verses to start with probably. And I'll let you remain seated. It's a long chapter. We're going to look at the story that is here. And it's an interesting story, a lot of interesting things that we could pull out of it and talk about. But 2 Samuel 17, can I change something real quick? Look at chapter 15. I want to point something out. Chapter 15, verse 31. This is important to get in here. So let's look at chapter 15, verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. All right, now go to chapter 17 and verse 14. 17:14. Now we're going to talk more about the story in a moment, but let's look at these two verses. So he just prayed a prayer, right, about the counsel of a man named Ahithophel. And this verse shows the answer. Verse 14, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Why is that? Right here. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. The Lord answered the prayer right there. Two men gave advice, Ahithophel and Hushai. I'll get into this in a moment, but Ahithophel probably gave the better advice. But God, God messed with the thinking of Absalom a little bit, to where he thought the other man gave the better advice. It wasn't nothing but an answer to prayer. It was the providential hand of God answering David's prayer. So I want to just preach this thought today. Can God be trusted in trying times? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the stories that we have in it. And this true account right here, of course. Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn some lessons today that will encourage us and help us. Give us your power. Speak to our hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the story going on here is when Absalom gathered all of Israel to himself to overthrow his father, David, off the throne. Absalom was leading a revolt. So David has now left Jerusalem. He's left the throne. He's on the run. And somebody says Ahithophel is advising Absalom. Now, this has been a trusted counselor of David for many years, and he was respected for his good advice. So they told David, they said, Ahithophel has taken up with Absalom. He's going to be advising him. So David thinks, okay, well, if he's turned his back on me and he's joined up with Absalom in this revolt, he's going to give him good advice. He's going to give him good strategic war plans. So I got that against me right now. So he said, Lord, if you will defeat the counsel and the advice and the war battle plans given by Ahithophel, Lord, please do that. He prayed. You know that man's plans were good, but David's prayers were better. Amen? And God took care of things. Now, it's an interesting story, by the way. The other man, Hushai, is his name. Don't you like those names? Ahithophel and Hushai. And I got to try to remember which one's the right guy, the good guy, right? And Hushai, well, he gave a good plan too. he kind of had an advantage because they told him what the other man had already said. So that was kind of helpful to already know what the other guy said. And then he gave a plan that really secretly benefited David. Okay, let's back up and we'll look at a little bit. We're going to read some verses. Y'all good with that today? Open our Bibles there, chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, here's his advice, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Okay, let's stop right there. So this is what the man says. Ahithophel, this is his advice, and it's good advice. The problem with the advice is that he wants to be the hero. So if you notice what he says, let me lead the army, and I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this. So we'll see later on, he's a very vain individual. He loves to have everybody following his advice. He wants everybody to hear his voice. He wants everybody to hear his opinion. And he wants to be the hero in this thing. But what he said was, if you hit him now, hit him tonight, hit him fast, hit him hard. He's right now in disarray. Take him now. Take him tonight. Strike while the iron is hot. If you do this, you'll defeat him. And you'll have the kingdom. He's on the run. He's in the wilderness. He's tired. He's weak. He's weary. He's disorganized. Go get him. Don't give him a chance to breathe. That actually was the better plan. That was a good plan. He was right about everything he said. Ahithophel was. But remember, David had already prayed, Lord, defeat the advice that he gives. So verse 4, and the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Verse 5, then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. Now why would you even do that? The trusted advisor just gave you a great plan. He says, but you know what? I'd kind of like to hear what Hushai has to say about this. He's a good man. Well, he's really not on the side of Absalom like Absalom might think he is. He's still secretly on David's side. You know why he gave this man a chance to give a plan? God was answering prayer. Isn't it interesting? You know, God doesn't tell us what to think or say, but I'm going to tell you, God is God, and He can control some things. Have you ever prayed, Lord, you know, help? Have you ever gone to a job interview and said, Lord, help this person like me and hire me? You know, just put it in their mind, right? You know, something like that. You can pray prayers like that, I think, and get the help of God. That's sort of what that was, in a sense. So the only reason you're going to ask this man his advice is because God is intervening. Verse 5, let's look at it. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai. All right, see what he saith. Verse 6, when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. So he's already got advantage. He knows what the other guy said. Verse 7, Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Actually, it was good. But he's doing his job to help David, right? He said, no, that's not a good plan. Let's do this. Verse 8. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men. Now, this is true right here. That they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. And behold, he is now hid in some pit, in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them shall be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man. And they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered together unto thee from Dan unto Beersheba, as the sand is by the sea for the multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. Let's stop there. Now, first, right there at the end, he appeals to Absalom's ego. Absalom, you want to be the king? Don't let Ahithophel lead the army. You lead the army. You're the man now, right? But what was his advice? He spoke to the reputation of David, and he was right about it. He said, I will tell you something, Absalom. Now, all this sounds good and makes sense. If I was you, I would not want to go mess with your daddy tonight. He's mad. He's upset. He's like a bear robbed of her cubs. Do you really? Now, actually, somebody should have told Absalom that a long time ago about this revolt business. I don't think you want to go up against your daddy. You know, I don't think you want to go up against King David. He should have told him that a long time ago, but it's done now. So he says, now that he's out there, Ahithophel's already said he's weary. He's weak-handed. He's tired. But Hushai puts a different spin on it and says, he's also angry, he's mad, and you're going to go out there, some of your men are going to get killed. You know what everybody's going to say? They're going to say, oh, Absalom's failed, some of his men's already been killed by David, and it's just not going to be a good look. Here's what I tell you to do. Take your time. Get all the people gathered unto you. Let him stay out there in the wilderness. You go ahead and do business here. You get everybody on board with you. What's he doing? He's buying time for David to get organized. That's what he's doing. I like both plans. Both plans really are good, except Ahithophel said, strike while the iron's hot and you'll get this thing finished. That was good advice. Now, if you notice, if we jump back down to verse 14. Verse 14, Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for that the Lord had appointed to defeat what? The good counsel of Ahithophel. The Holy Spirit even said Ahithophel's plan was good, right? That's a key word right there, I do believe. He even said that plan was good, but God used the wit and wisdom of Hushai, who painted word pictures, to say, don't do it tonight. Not a good plan. Why? Because he secretly wants David to get organized. He wants David to get himself together and get his plan together. He is secretly helping David. But more than that, guess who else is helping David? God Almighty up in heaven. Amen. Don't you like it when God's working behind the scenes? You don't always know when God's working behind the scenes. But it's interesting to me, they said, oh man, that other plan's good, let's go tonight. And then they hear this story and they say, well, that makes a lot of sense. This is better. Why is it better? Because God just made it sound better to him at that moment. But David is getting a lot of time here. Now, what goes on, we'll say, I'll get into it in a moment, but what goes on is Hushai now sends messengers to tell David what's going on. Y'all go tell David what Ahithophel said. You go tell him what I said. And truth of the matter is, I don't know which advice he's going to take, honestly. Yeah, I don't know which advice he's going to take. So here's what you do. You go tell David, get across Jordan right now. So they take off. Somebody sees this. And some young person wanting to get on Absalom's good side says, hey, I got news. Some spies are going out to see David right now. I don't know what it's about, but I know that's where they're going. So they take off after him. Those spies come up to a man's house. And here's what you learn. Not everybody's with Absalom. And not everybody's against David at this point. It's kind of like the story of Joshua and the spies and Rahab. They take these two spies. They put them in a well. They cover it up. And when Absalom's men show up, hey, do you have those two, I think, or a priest, do you have those two priests here, da, da, da. Yeah, they were here, but they're gone now. Hey, look, God's not into lying, but God didn't have them lie and deceive. But overriding, God was in control of protecting those spies and protecting David in the long run. They hid them. These other guys looked all around. They couldn't find them. They went to Absalom. I'm sorry to say, we don't know where they went. Maybe they got to David. I don't know. I don't know. We don't even know what their message was. We don't know what they were going to tell him. But we lost them. And that probably wasn't a good report to have to go tell Absalom, right? So anyway, they had to go back and tell that. And then in the latter part of the chapter, some good people send some supplies out to help David. So what I'm saying with this, with that story before us, is this. Yes, God can be trusted in our trying times. Y'all believe that? Let's look at this morning. I'll break it down three statements and we'll be done this morning. Number one, trust God for protection in the battle. Trust God for protection in the battle. This is an unwanted battle. This is a battle David didn't want. I mean, his own son is leading a revolt against him. His own son is pushing him off the throne. His own son, Absalom, the charmer, that has gathered a crowd behind him, has now pushed him off the throne. This is a battle he did not want. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you. Absalom is going to be defeated. He's going to be killed. And David is going to lament like you can't imagine, or you can't imagine, a man lamenting for the death of his son. Absalom, oh Absalom, my son. I mean, he lamented over the death of his son in the long run. That's what eventually happened. But right now, trust God for protection in the battle. I like the fact that God answered his prayer back in chapter 15. That's a key point. Don't you believe that? He said, specific prayer. The counsel of Ahithophel, Lord, defeated. Now, again, he gave good advice. It was not foolish. It was a good military strategy. But God, the Bible says, God can turn the wisdom of men into foolishness. Right? Well, you can't outsmart God, amen? And so we know that. Now, it's sad here to see Israel fighting Israel. It's sad here to see son fighting against father. But that's what you got going on here. The people are divided now. And David is told, Hushai, you know, kind of told him, gather some intelligence, get me some reports. And that's what he is doing the best that he can. And the fact that they even asked him his advice played right into the plan of God to help him there. So the Lord protected whenever they went after those messengers. So what's happening here? Everybody knows what's happening here. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows what Absalom has been up to. Everybody can see it now if they didn't see it before. And they're like, do we want Absalom as our king? Oh, he's handsome. He's a charmer. I like him. Well, yeah, but I like David too. I mean, David is, you can't help but respect David, right? You know, so now everybody's taking sides. Everybody's trying to figure out who they like. Everybody, though, has not been wooed by the charms of Absalom. You know, you think about this, folks. Yeah, I hate to hear about church splits, but it seems like about every church I know has a story, you know, in their history is what I'm saying. And I tell you, it is so sad whenever I hear these stories of church splits and how people get forced to take sides. And a lot of times it has to do with the leader, the pastor, and who likes and who doesn't like. And, you know, I was told about one recently that, it was a wreck. It was a total mess. And the pastor was just involved in all kind of stuff that he shouldn't have been involved in. And that was kind of an easy case, right? But sometimes it just comes down to an Absalom in the church trying to work. Another story I know of right now, a man, he's been a long-time pastor, well-respected man, but his associate got into a Sunday school class, did what Absalom did. He got him a crowd, and now guess what? They're down the road starting a new church, and that church lost about 50 people. You know, I mean, you just hate to hear these stories. And then people have to make a choice, and people have to choose. And that's what Israel was having to do right there. It was Israel fighting Israel. It was father fighting, or son fighting against father. And everybody, don't you like unity in your church? Amen, right? And whether it be the pastor or some other leader or some teacher or whatever it is going on in the church, let's just love everybody and be glad for everybody God gave us. Amen? I think that's the best way to go here. But that is obviously an application in the story. Now, again, in verses 19 and 20 down through there, I didn't read it all, is where they hid the messengers. And God was involved there too. And God was helping there. Now look, let me say this. It was not the lie of the lady or the wife of the man. It was not their lie. And it was out of the hands of the messengers. In fact, they were just hoping not to get caught, right? So they're hiding in a well. They put something over the top, put some grain on it, and they never suspected that the men were hidden in there. But it was out of the hands of those messengers, and it was not the lie that was told that, oh yeah, they were here, but they've gone. God's not into that. But over all of it, God was watching and helping and protecting his servant David, right? God is wiser than us, and people say God works in mysterious ways. I kind of don't like that statement. It's not in the Bible. But I get what they mean, because God does things and works in things sometimes that we would have never thought of. He can do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, right? And so sometimes that may be why we say God works in mysterious ways. But here's what I'll say. That was not easy for those messengers. Let's make an application right here. Did you know you're a messenger for the Lord? You have a message to take to this world, and the devil doesn't like it. And sometimes you want to go hide out. God doesn't want you to hide out. He doesn't want you to shine. He doesn't want you to hide your light. He wants you to shine your light. Amen. Right? That's what I was saying a little bit ago when I referred to the song, "Sweeter Every Day." Sometimes it gets bitter. Sometimes we get weary in well doing. Sometimes we wonder, why is the world against us as Christians? But we got to remember, folks, this world is not our home. Amen. This world is not my home. We are down here in enemy territory for sure. We ought to stay in touch with headquarters, which is God up in heaven. Amen. He's our captain, Jesus is. But it's going to get hard sometimes. Nobody ever said it was easy living for Jesus. Nobody ever said it would be easy following the Lord. Nobody ever said it would be easy to be a messenger of the Lord. Nobody said it'd ever be easy to be an ambassador or a witness for Jesus. In fact, look at what happened to Jesus. So his followers are going to suffer also, right? So those messengers getting put in that situation, but yet God is in control of all of it. Sometimes you just got to slow down, maybe get in the well, get in the prayer closet, get out the book of Psalms, and get your soul refreshed. Amen? Isn't that right? So you can go back out and get busy doing the job you're supposed to be doing. But matter of fact, if you read the Psalms, you'll see how many times David had to refresh his soul. Amen, right? What am I saying? I'm saying, number one, you can trust God for protection in the battle. Let me give you number two. You can trust God for peace in the trial. You can trust God for peace in the trial. Now, the Bible tells us David had to do what Hushai said. He crossed the Jordan. But here's the thing. You know how many times the Jordan had been crossed and God divided it and let them go over on dry grounds? A couple times, right? God didn't do it this time. It took all night long for David and all of his people to get across the Jordan River. Well, God, can't you kind of like part it and dry the ground and make it easy tonight? Can you give us a miracle here? Sometimes, folks, God just wants you to do your part and trust him with it. And in the midst of it, you just got to trust God. I think David had to feel good and have some peace in his heart. Hushai's on my side. I got other people looking out for me. I got those messengers helping me out. I got a crowd with me right now. I said he had to feel good. You know what that is? He had to have had some peace. Even though this is bad, God is still here. That peace that passeth all understanding is simply saying, I'm in a bad time. I'm in a trying time. I'm in a valley. But somehow I got a peace in my heart. It's because in the midst of your trial and your trying time and your valley and your storm, God is right there with you. Right? The presence of the Lord is what will give you peace. You might have to cross the Jordan without the help of the Lord drying the ground. And it's not easy to do. But God got them all safely over, is what the story tells us there. Paul said that God told him at one point, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That'll give you some peace, won't it? You're going through a trial right now. You're going through a storm right now. You're going through a hard time right now. Did you know the Bible still says, my grace is sufficient for thee? You know what that means? His grace will sustain you and help you and strengthen you, and it'll never run out. It's sufficient. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. It's always sufficient. It's always there to help us. All right, so what are we talking about here? Can God be trusted? Yes. Trust God for protection in the battle. Trust God for peace in the trial. And number three, trust God for provision in the valley. Let's look down at verse 27 gives a long list of supporters. Look at 28. They sent David some supplies. Well, what a care package. Look at verse 28. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. All right, remember this now. Ahithophel said, he's weary and he's weak. All right, this right here says, they're hungry, they're weary, they're thirsty in the wilderness. That's why it was a good plan to go get them now. But since Absalom did not go, matter of fact, it does tell us Absalom went in verse 23, but it doesn't tell us when. I don't think he went right away. I don't know what the time frame is. We really don't know if he took that strike now advice. I don't think he did. I think he waited a little bit. Hushai bought David some time. And here it is, somebody else said, you know what? They're hungry, they're weary, they're thirsty, they're in the wilderness. Let's send them a bunch of supplies. God's provision. Hey, folks, do you have some good people around you, maybe in your church, that whenever they hear you're going through a hard time, you get texts, you get phone calls, you get cards, you get cakes, you get help, amen, right? You know what I'm talking about? You got some people in your life like that? If you go to Liberty Baptist Church, you do, amen, right? David had people like that. Boy, that was quite a supply list that they sent to David out there. And they understood what Absalom's doing is wrong, and we're not going to support Absalom. We're going to support our king. By the way, wasn't there a day when David said, touch not the Lord's anointed, in reference to Saul? Let God handle that problem. Amen? Don't try to handle it yourself. David had one time said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Saul, King Saul, he had a chance to kill Saul while Saul was trying to kill him. He would not do it. And I think he got paid back right there. Amen. Some folks were looking out for him saying, hey, he's the king. He's the rightful king. What Absalom's doing is wrong. I'm just saying this, folks. When you're out there in the wilderness, you're out there in the valley, you're out there in the trying times, you know, sometimes God can surprise you with some supplies and some encouragement and some help, and it might even come from some unlikely places, right? Brother Greg mentioned this morning about somebody that you didn't let them give you some money for a missions trip, and they got mad and said you robbed them of a blessing, right, to give. David didn't rob these people of the blessing. They wanted to be a blessing. They wanted to be a help. I thought that was a pretty good point right there. He said, hey, you know, it's okay. I'll take it. I need it. Amen? And sometimes people do want to give to you. Sometimes people do want to help you. Sometimes people do want to be there for you. But here's the point. They said he's weary and thirsty and hungry and weak out there in the wilderness. Did you know they had to go out there and find him? Because as somebody had already said, David's probably, you know, he's probably separated from the people. He knows what he's doing. He might be in a cave somewhere, whatever. But you know this, God knows where you are when you're in the trying times. God doesn't lose track of his children. Amen? You say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Don't we do that sometimes? Now, some people, everybody knows what they're going through because they got Facebook and they're going to tell you about it, right? All day long, about 10 posts a day. Here's what's happening to me today. Here's what somebody said to me. This is why I got offended. No, but most of you don't do that. And the devil might come to you and say, nobody knows what you're going through. You're carrying this burden all by yourself. And maybe you are, as far as people go. But God knows. And again, sometimes God can send help and encouragement and supplies, whatever you need, from unlikely sources. Why? Because you can trust God in your trying times. You're going to have some trying times. You're going to have some tests and trials. But God can supply and provide. He said He'd meet all our needs, right? Amen, right? Sometimes He even blesses you with some wants too, doesn't He? He daily loadeth us with benefits, the Bible says. David talked about that too, and David knew something about that. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Well, that doesn't mean every day is a wonderful day, but God can send the supplies that you need. So nobody ever said it was easy serving the Lord. If they did, they told the devil's lie, right? But God knows where you are. God knows who's forsaken you, who's betrayed you, who's offended you, who's hurt you, who's not there for you. God knows all of it when nobody else perhaps knows. But yet God can lay it on the heart of somebody to say, hey, been concerned about you lately. Somebody asked me recently, was something going on the other day because you were heavy on my heart to pray for you? I love those things. God can do that. Amen. God knows. When nobody else knows. But God, you say, man, Lord woke me up the other day and put somebody on my heart. Mine. Pray for them right then. God knows. You don't. But God knows. Amen. Right? The Lord, He works through prayers. He'll put it on your heart. He'll give you, that's praying according to the will of God. He gave you the prayer. Amen. He gave you the person to pray for at the moment to pray for them. And God right here gave provision because He provides for His own people. He'll take care of us. Amen. Don't you believe that? God can be trusted in trying times. So what we have in this story, just one of many stories lifted out of the life of David, is we have the caring, providential hand of God working behind the scenes. I believe God's always at work. Do y'all believe that? He never sleeps nor slumbers. You say, I don't know where God is. I need Him in my life right now, and He's been letting me go with this trial a long time. God's always at work. God's doing things behind the scenes that sometimes we don't know or realize. We just got to believe that by faith. I've told you all that several times lately. You got to believe by faith that God is behind the scenes because you're His child, and He's watching over you. His eyes go to and fro. Amen? Throughout the earth, He's watching you. He's got His eye. Hey, if He's got His eye on that sparrow, amen. He knows the name of the stars up there. He knows the one verse. He knows the He knows that bird up there in the mountains that nobody's ever even seen, right? God knows. And if He knows, and Jesus said, if He knows about those things, how much more valuable are you? He's looking out for you, amen. You say, well, I'm not King David. No, you're a child of God. That means even more. Amen? Right? The providential hand of God is seen. Yes, He can be trusted in trying times. And I think what you and I need to do, you say, what are we to do with this? I think what you and I need to do with this is we need to pray and trust God to do some of the same type stuff in our lives. That He will help, encourage, and sustain us. And He will weave and work behind the scenes in our troublesome times when we're like, God, why'd You bring this on me? It might be a while before you learn the answer to that, but you trust Him. He's always got your best interest in mind. Amen? He's always trying to work on you and through you and help you. I believe that. Amen? Y'all believe that? I feel like Joel Osteen for a moment there. I need to be careful and back up here. I'm giving y'all too much encouragement there. I just got convicted. Now, I'm kidding. Y'all don't mind at the moment, I don't think, right? Y'all want me to shift gears? Let's talk about how wicked Absalom was and how you ought to live right. Amen, right? Let's preach on that for a little while. But anyway, I'm kidding. Now, I'm glad God loves us and knows where we're at and looks out for His people. Amen? I like that. I like that. Let's pray that God will do the same for us in our lives. And we'll be reminded we're going through trying times. We will go through trying times. But He can be trusted while we're in it. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please? Let's stand with our heads bowed this morning. Just thinking about the goodness of God to us. the providential hand of God at work around us. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your blessings. We thank you so much, Lord, for that you care. Lord, everybody here has a burden or heartache, and you know what it is. Lord, remind them right now, God, that you do know about it. And Lord, they need to cast their cares upon you right now. They need to do like David. They need to pray a specific prayer and let you answer it and work in it and through it. Thank you, Lord, for this true account here that encourages our heart today. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost and they don't know you, they need to be saved. I pray you'd prick that heart right now and draw them to the Savior. Lord, if there's a Christian here that needs to be encouraged, Lord, I pray you would meet whatever that need is right now. And I ask it here this morning in Jesus' name. Little music plays. This altar is open if you need to come this morning. Amen. You can look this way this morning. I don't know why God had us go there this morning. I asked myself that last night when I was studying on it again. But God, I trust God knows who needs what and when we need it. Amen. And there might be something there that Lord can continue to keep working in our hearts and minds that will help us and encourage us. And just to be reminded, the providence of God, that's a big doctrine, but just means God's always at work doing something, even when we don't realize it. And I think that's a good example of it right there in the Bible, that God can, there's no problem too big for God, right? And God can handle things for sure. So I hope you'll be encouraged by that tonight. We'll be in the book of James, talk about trying times a little more from the book of James tonight. So hopefully you can be here with us for that. And again, Wednesday night, we've got prayer meetings. So let's remember all these things as well.